This morning's scripture is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7a. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to pray with me. Holy God, send your spirit upon us, that as your scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. Friends, a minor trigger warning for our sermon today. I will be mentioning some adult topics that may not be suitable for children. So if you have any questions about any of that or need ways to talk about the things that I will introduce, to any younger ears that might be hearing, just contact me. Have you ever walked in the dark in the middle of the night? Probably most of us have, right? Maybe your dog needed outside, or you felt a similar urge for yourself. In the Dillon household, we have two dogs. So between me, Jimbo, and one of the pups, someone is getting up in the middle of the night at some point. Now, it's not an altogether bad experience walking in the dark. With the lights out, you can kind of avoid waking up all of the way, right? And the house is quiet and still. And before long, everyone can be tucked into bed again and snoring slightly. But unpleasant things can also happen to you when you walk in the dark. I mentioned my dogs, right? I've stepped on bones, squeaky toys, and other things that might happen when puppies have, you know, upset tummies. My mom also has this terrifying story of stepping on a scorpion when she was a young girl getting up in the middle of the night. It was West Texas, but still, it's terrifying. So I usually turn on a light. The encouragement from the scripture reading today is to walk in the light. This particular book of the Bible, 1 John, is a set of three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that are typically thought of to be written by the same person, to a group of small house churches in and around the city of Ephesus. Now, even me saying that makes me realize and acknowledge that there's a lot of debate around the authorship and the actual intention of these three letters. So we can only be relatively certain that the person who wrote these letters was writing them to a set of young Christian congregations that this author seems to have some authority over. And additionally, who the author is remains a bit of a mystery. None of these writings actually mention the name John. In fact, the first letter is anonymous, and 2nd and 3rd John only self-refer to the author as the elder. So the assumption has often been made that this elder was someone either in the inner circle of the 12 disciples or someone very close to the immediate Jesus movement, so that the elder would have been an eyewitness to the ministry of Jesus and was passing along wisdom and exhortations to a younger generation of Jesus devotees once removed from the firsthand experience of the earlier followers. Kind of get me? We sort of know that this guy was sort of right. We sort of know it's a guy that was sort of writing to a new Christian community. Whatever the authorship or the audience, the message here is clear. There is some division in the midst of this new community, and the author of 1 John is wanting to help this community stay true to the faith and the teachings of Jesus, which is, according to the first part of 1 John, is walking in the light. That's all we have to do, walk in the light. Which is a lovely sentiment, a really nice sounding metaphor. But what does it actually mean? According to the Bible Project, the walking in the light means to keep God's commandments through Jesus, which, if drilled down even further, is the great commandment, following the great commandment, to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, walking in the light is letting love be the most important thing. This last week, I did a clergy sexual ethics training. As an ordained clergy in the United Methodist Church, not only am I asked to participate in lots of different ethical trainings, but I am required by the Book of Discipline and all of us who are ordained to attend to a sexual ethics training every quadrennium or every 4 years. Not only are Methodist clergy required to take this training regularly because clergy are called to kind of a higher standard of morality, right? But because, and maybe actually more relevant than that, is that the church has seen its share of scandal. Clergy persons have a power differential over parishioners. And that power is abused more often than you might think. Now, statistics were a little tricky for me to track down, but here are some interesting notes that I found. On the Not In My Church website, they pointed out that in the average American congregation of about 400 persons, with women representing on average 60% of the congregation, there are, on average, 7 women who have experienced clergy sexual misconduct. According to a 2021 article in Forbes, an independent commission looking into clergy sexual abuse in the Catholic Church identified around 2,700 victims of abuse, but the wide-ranging research and polling data shows that around 216,000 victims were abused by clergy members, and that number could further go up to 330,000 when including abuse by lay members of the church. And in the United Methodist Church itself, a recent survey found that 59% of clergy persons knew of a sexual misconduct case involving another clergy person. Now, in my sexual ethics training last week, which was all online, interestingly, because it was focused on misconduct and clergy ethics in the digital age, It mainly covered appropriate use of digital communication, kind of like, you know, when is it appropriate to email something as opposed to a social media post, as opposed to a phone call, as opposed to in-person communication, that kind of stuff. But there was a whole section on internet pornography. The statistics there are pretty staggering. A Barna research study found that most pastors, 57%, and youth pastors, 64%, admit that they have struggled with porn, either currently or in the past. But less than 1% recommended telling their congregation. Whew. The training that I received from the Lewis Center for Church Leadership suggested that online pornography is an increasingly addictive and harmful issue that will only become more and more prevalent in our digital world. The encouragement was to talk about the real struggles and to bring them from the darkness into the light. Friends, my point today isn't really around sexual ethics, although if you heard something that was helpful for you there, wonderful. But more about the ways that real issues that people struggle with are often hidden away due to shame or embarrassment. And I think that our scripture's encouragement today to walk in the light is a brave kind of thing. To bring topics that have typically been relegated to the darkness and to bring them into the light. Consider how, especially before the pandemic, remember how mental health issues used to be taboo? You didn't talk about that. Or considering and talking about racism wasn't for polite company. Or LGBTQ plus persons were just fine as long as they kept that part of themselves behind closed doors? What if walking in the light means to bring all of those things that affect our well-being into the light of conversation and awareness so that they can be addressed, dealt with, and persons can be brought into wholeness and health? What if walking in the light means to offer dignity, forgiveness, and worth to all people, especially when there are deep struggles? If walking in the light, like the author of 1 John says, includes letting love be the most important thing, then we must love one another enough to confront the things that have been hidden in the dark for too long. If you are struggling with someone or something that has been hidden, if you feel shame or humiliation about a situation of any sort, I invite you to find a trusted someone and to tell them, and together to find a path to the light. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. My prayer is that we every day can walk more and more in the light. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen.